things we're trying to do is maybe model good music in front of our children. There's two different schools of thought about children's ministry. Obviously, let the children be children and do children's songs. There's nothing wrong with children's songs. But there's also a need, I think, to expose them to whatever you might describe what we're trying to do on Sunday morning, to model worship music to the Lord. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter number 10. As I've been preparing for the end of the year, as you have as well, I've asked the Lord to allow me to go through certain books, reading them out loud to the Lord. And I find myself in the book of Hebrews this week. Last Wednesday, we talked about hardening your hearts. This Sunday, I'd like to look at something in Hebrews chapter number 10. But before I get there, I Googled a few words. I Googled the importance of taking attendance. I'll share with you just some titles of articles that popped up immediately in the first two pages. First, the importance of school attendance. I didn't mention school at all, but that popped up. Importance of attendance in work ethics. First page. Why does attendance matter? School attendance, a key to success. Class attendance, is it important? Parent information, importance of school attendance. Another one, why school attendance matters and what you can do to help. How to encourage employee attendance at work. The importance of regular school attendance, attendance and punctuality, employee accountability in the workplace. And I figured I'd end right here because this is where we're going in Hebrews chapter 10. The last title I read said, "What does the Bible say about attending church?" Hebrews chapter 10. I'll answer that question. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25 says, now, if you've been in church a year, you've probably heard this passage of scripture preached on. It says, and let us consider. Consider what? One another. To provoke, that's a powerful word, unto love and to good works, not bad works, good works, not forsaking. I have never preached on this passage of scripture since I've been the pastor here. Just want to let you know that. I also want to let you know that if you've ever gone through our discipleship ministry here in our church, our lesson on the local church doesn't even have this passage of scripture in it. So Jess, just so you know, when you go through this discipleship lesson, it's not there because I checked, Charlene. Why did we write a discipleship lesson without this verse in it? We got to republish it. It says in verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. That doesn't mean Sunday approaching. That means the day of the Lord. That means the Lord's coming. So we're going to look at four things. Where and when, what, why, and warnings. What does the Bible say about attending church? Let's pray. Lord, we come before you and thank you for your matchless grace. Thank you, Lord, for this time of year and what it symbolizes and how it brings us together to focus on your incarnation. For those that couldn't be with us, we pray. Those that are recovering, those who are sick or ill, those that might be traveling, watch over them in a special way. Lord, this is Sunday school. This is nursery school material. So as I read through this portion of Scripture, I thought, we can't finish Heart of Worship unless we really, really, really go back to the basics. So I pray that this is not too deep. I pray this is not taken in a wrong way, but I pray that, Lord, we might provide some truth here. Guide us, direct us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Church attendance. Where and when? Give me a moment or two to unpack this. It's a strange thing that believers in Christ should walk away from the local community that nourishes and supports them. I find it strange. There are numerous examples of churches and church leaders that have less than biblical motives for what they have done. Pastoral scandals abound regarding money, power, immorality. Church cases regarding office staff, secretaries, counselors have also made many in the general public wary of the local church. Yet, as we see the historical record of the Apostle Paul, along with his missionary teams, it is clear that the ministry of the gospel started local churches in locations across the Middle East, Asia, and Europe. The church at Jerusalem was probably the most famous after the resurrection of Christ. Philip preached in the city of Samaria, where a church grew up. Paul preached the gospel in Damascus, Syria, after his conversion, if you remember. Antioch had received the preaching of the word of God, and Barnabas, with the assistance of Paul, started perhaps one of the most famous churches in all of the Bible. It was from the church of Antioch that the Holy Spirit sent Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey to the island of Cyprus, from there to the provinces of Galatia, from there to Iconium and Lystra and Derbe, and from there to Pisidia, Pamphylia, Perga, Attalia, before returning to Antioch. It is also clear that the book of Revelation has documented seven local churches that the Spirit of God names and calls out. So I wonder why in 2018 we wonder or we hear if the local church is important anymore. Not only that, but Paul had written to a few of them, and we read them. The church at Rome, the church at Corinth, the church at Philippi, the church at Ephesus, the church at Colossae, the church at Thessalonica, and so on. So it becomes clear that the local New Testament church is central and foundational to the spread of the gospel across the world. It is also to be remembered that salvation is not something that people are born with. Oh, I was raised in a Christian home. So what? You're not a plant? Salvation is not inherited. It's not passed on by family genes. Salvation's all about conversion. The gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ for all the world. So therefore, we need to tell others about the substitutionary sacrifice that's been paid for them. I don't have time, and I know you've already read what the Bible says in the book of Ephesians about the local church. It talks about the perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith. How long is that going to take? Till Jesus comes. So the need of the local church, agree with it or not, is God's plan for this age for now. The church will be removed. That's called the rapture, when believers in Christ will be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. But those that have gone before us will go first. So at this time, in this place, God has used the foolishness of preaching to save the lost. God has used imperfect vessels like you and I to model, to manifest the glory of God and the Spirit of God to those that don't know Christ. To raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. What does that mean? That means little eyes are watching us all the time. Paul wrote to the book of Colossians, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another." I wonder what the context of that is. That's the local church. And with the size of our church, it's really not very hard to miss somebody. Or should I say it a different way? We're so small, we know everybody. So therefore, if you have a quarrel with somebody on this side of the aisle, you really can't get through that door without seeing them. Now, there are churches that have multiple exits on purpose. And they have multiple aisles on purpose. So the body of Christ doesn't mingle because one side of the church is mad at the other side of the church. And one part of the family is mad at the other part of the family. You know how that goes. Unfortunately, it's sad, but it's true. So when we're talking about what does the Bible say about church attendance, you might wonder, where? Well, in the local church. That's where God wants believers to meet. You might ask the question, when? John chapter 20 talks about the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene. The first day of the week is what we celebrate, the church celebrates, as the resurrection of Christ. Acts chapter number 20. You can turn there if you want. Acts chapter number 20 is Paul's third missionary journey. It's a sad story, this particular portion of Scripture. I don't think I've ever preached so long where people have fallen from the rafters and broken their necks and died. But that's what this particular passage of Scripture brings out. I just wanted to say in verse number 7, Acts 20, verse 7, it says, "And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them." So the Saturday of the Sabbath of the Old Testament and the time of Christ was being replaced by a new day, another day. Whereas before, the law was celebrated on Saturday, but Christ rose the first day of the week. So believers in Christ would separate themselves from the law followers versus the Christ followers. The Christ followers would gather on Sunday to celebrate the resurrection of Christ. The law followers would gather on Saturday to be representative of the fact that they were still Jewish and they were still under Moses' law. 1 Corinthians, if you turn there, chapter number 16. 1 Corinthians 16. Verse number 1. This is not a message on giving, but this chapter is. 1 Corinthians 16, 1. Now concerning the collection for the saints, that means offerings, as I have given order to the churches, to the churches. So Paul is writing this letter to Corinth. He says to the churches of Galatia, which was a province, kind of like Ontario, Canada, a province, a state. The churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Verse 2, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. So, when we talk about church, the New Testament talks about places, local gatherings of believers, and it also talks about when? On the first day of the week, or at least when these believers would gather and celebrate the resurrection of Christ. Okay, let's talk about Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25, in regard to the what question. What is Paul, or what is the author of the book of Hebrews, saying? And let us consider one another. That's a good thing, because most of us are wired to think about me, myself, and I. That's why we needed the cross. That's why we needed Christ's redemption. Consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. If you are a brother or sister, you know what that word provoke means. Emily, I saw that. I looked your way on purpose because I know you're two brothers. Aren't brothers and sisters mean sometimes? They know the buttons. They know the exact time and place to push. And the reaction they get is, it's perfectly timed. It happens every time. And they know it. You know, it's true, but it's sad. The Bible says about dads not to provoke your children to wrath. Now, dads love teasing their daughters. Love it. Love it until the day of the wedding. Or past that. That's what we're made for. That's what we're geared to do. We relish in that. But I think in this context, this is a positive provoking. Not a negative provoke. Provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The Bible does not say ignore. It says not forsaking. Mostly everyone in attendance this morning has experienced the blessings of fellowship with God's people in an uplifting, Christ-honoring way. No matter how bad your experiences in the church has been over the years, you can at least think of one good experience you've had. Being in the body of Christ, each believer has a new relationship with Jesus Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So our old family, that could have been our family of friends, our family of co-workers, our family of companions, whether we were hunting or fishing or athletics, whatever it happened to be, we've been grafted into a new family. with that relationship, this new family, a spiritual family, we have a new relationship with Christ that goes beyond race, color, ethnic background, upbringing, education, or career path. That means that a Palestinian and a Jew in Christ can pray together. That means that a Vietnamese and a Korean in Christ can enjoy fellowship together. That means a black and a white in America can enjoy fellowship together, where that would never take place outside of the family of God. Not in the spiritual context, for sure. I mean, that might happen on the field because they're paying you a few million dollars to get along. We're talking about no pay intended. The family of God, I think you'd agree, is unique in all the world. There's nothing like it. So when we talk about what does the Bible say about church attendance, I'd like to at least focus a little bit on the fact that it was commanded. So let's look at a few of these. First of all, the Lord said so. Why should we be in church? The Lord said so. That's what it says here in this particular passage of Scripture. Abraham was commanded by God to uproot his family and relocate by faith. He had no prior navigational instructions, just that he was to obey the voice and the direction of God. There is something to be said for obedience. Boy, it's really quiet this morning. This was not a suggestion by God. The challenge is always when God commands, there's always a counter challenge, a counter command. We know what the counter command is: the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world, the flesh, and the devil. Will there be obstacles to obeying God? Yes. Will there be challenges to obeying God? Yes. Of course there will be. Remember when you were 3 months old? You might not, but your parents do. Were there obstacles? Of course. Feeding, burping, diapers. The list is endless. But then you turned to 6 months. Then a year. Then you started talking. Then you started creeping. Then you started walking. The obstacles changed. The commands were the same. But the development started to change. Remember, if you can, that God really wants to make our Christian walk and life simple. So he uses simple illustrations by basically saying, you see that child? That child is just like you, spiritually. So when you're a new babe in Christ, the Bible says, you as a new babe in Christ, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow. So little babies that aren't fed make themselves known. Their needs are important. So parents, hopefully, take care of some basic needs of newborns and infants. Now, again, I tried to say this is going to be as basic as it gets. But if you're not feeding on God's word, you are malnourished, medically speaking. Spiritually, if you are not feeding on God's word, you are not growing. You're wilting. You're dying on the vine. This is not hard. This is basics. Okay? But Pastor, you don't understand. Tell me what I don't understand. God said, read my word. Will there be obstacles? Of course. The world, the flesh, and the devil. We'll just name the top three. And everything else is personal and circumstantial. I get it. I live the same life you do. I was a new babe in Christ. How do I know? Because one day I went to a meeting. my attendance mattered. And on November 11th, 1983, at the Dome Arena in Rochester, New York, is the day I got saved. So my attendance mattered on that day. What would have happened if I hadn't gone? What about you? Do you have documented your salvation date, place, when it took place? Because if you don't have it documented, the devil will take it from you. So somebody said you should write down the day you got saved. So I believed that person, and I did. There was also a day I got baptized, 1984, Hal Roscoe. The church, the location. Have you wrote that down? When did that happen for you? What would have happened if I hadn't attended then? Surrendered my life to the Lord, March 9th, 1986. Sunday p.m., FBBC, Rochester, New York. Full-time Christian service, August 31st, 1986. Call to the mission field, December 17th, 1986. Do those dates matter? I wouldn't be here in Lancaster. Trust me, I wouldn't be here. Buffalo was nowhere on my radar screen. I didn't mind driving through. I had no plans for Buffalo. Does church matter? Yeah, it does. Does you being here matter? Matters to God. Because one of the most important days in your life could have happened had you been here. We had yesterday, in men's meeting, one of the most incredible, one of the most fantastic, one of the most, I don't know, God-sent devotions that I've ever heard. I said to my wife, I said, whatever Victor said yesterday could have been said in any camp, in any men's meeting, in any church in America or around the world. This is not to boast on Victor. He had no sleep. He was a mess yesterday when he started men's meeting. He was a mess. He said so. And God showed up. Whew. It was good. I'll never forget it. So much, so I'll never forget it. Victor, I just want to let you know, I took notes on my napkin. I got notes. I got a record of that meeting. You might think, oh, that's stupid. No, it's not stupid. The Lord said so. Second, the Bible says that God's in the midst of his gathering. But what about when I'm home alone reading my Bible? That's personal worship. I get that. What about corporate worship? Corporate worship. Matthew 18:20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Now, our prayer as a church, my prayer as a pastor, is that God shows up. I'm glad when you're here, but if God's not here, wouldn't that be sad? Okay, Pastor, that's the Lord speaking in the Gospels. Well, Paul speaks in the book of Ephesians when he says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. If Christ is the head of the church, then if we're not in the church, basically what that means is we have an authority problem. I have an authority problem. You have an authority problem. That's why Jesus came to die on the cross. The authority of the problem was manifest itself in Genesis chapter 3, and we haven't gotten rid of the problem ever since. The entire purpose of gathering as a church, obviously, is to magnify the Lord. Within that process, the body of Christ, the church, the people of the church should be strengthened and edified. Aren't you lonely spiritually? That's what the church is for. And every once in a while, we kind of break it down a little bit. We kind of let our hair down. The pastor doesn't wear his jacket. And we might do a Bible collating project. And you might actually be able to sit with somebody in the church and talk with them. Visit with them. We even have vacation Bible school where we lose sleep, we lose money, we lose a lot of things. But corporately, we work together to minister the Word of God to the children of our church and the children of our community. And isn't that a glorious thing when it's done? It's awesome. When you get Jose excited about vacation Bible school, you know you've done something cool. Mm-hmm. Yep. Even an old goomer like Jose. Pastor, I'm excited. That was good. It was good. God commanded it. God commanded God's people to love God's people. Now, you might not be very lovely, or you might not be very lovable, but God commanded us to love God's people. And we could give you 50 verses on that, but I think you get the point. What does the Bible say about church attendance? I think I highlighted the thing that says provoke unto love. So what's the purpose? What's the purpose? Well, what are we here for? Well, first of all, mutual encouragement. Mutual encouragement. Because one of the greatest problems in the church, one of the greatest tools that Satan uses against believers is discouragement. Discouragement. We are to comfort fellow followers of Christ. Even when we don't feel like it. We're to be cheerleaders for each other in the Lord. Military recruits have this bond. Why? Because they go through the same thing. All Marines go through boot camp. So if you're a Marine, you're always a Marine. Why? Because they've all experienced the same thing. What about being in the body of Christ? We've all experienced the same thing. We've all been born again. Amen, Pastor. At least I am. Well, at least I got something. But he say something. We were once lost, but now we're found. We were blind, but now we... If you're not excited about that, I mean, no matter how you were raised, what home you're in, whatever happened, you were blind, but now you see. Praise God. It used to be gray, it used to be black, it used to be just null and void, but now you have the light of the gospel. Now you have Christ living within you. Now you have the Holy Spirit of God empowering you. Man, that's enough to live for, isn't it? That's enough to encourage somebody with. Even if you made your Thanksgiving dinner and nobody showed up. Say, Pastor, what are you talking about? You prepared, you bought the resources, you cleaned the house, you did everything necessary to present a meal, and nobody showed up. How would that make you feel? You obeyed, you did what you were supposed to do. But if nobody's there to enjoy the meal, that's sad. I'm going to sit on that for a moment. That's what God thinks every time we're not in our place. How many truths have we missed? Because God had something made for us. A meal was prepared specifically for us and we weren't there. Or look at it this way. God was going to use you to encourage somebody else, and you weren't in your place. And that person who basically said, this is the last chance I'm giving church. If I go to church and nobody speaks to me, nobody encourages me, this is the last time I go. Do you know Erie County is littered with prodigal Christians? You know them. They're on Facebook. I don't do Facebook. I just know the ones that have left here. And for those that have gone on to other churches, praise the Lord. It's my greatest joy. What about all those that are not in church? Let me just say this. This is not a message on legalism. I'm trying to be as basic as possible. That means little children get fed milk. That's not legalism. That's life. That's life. If they don't get fed, they die. Right? Biologically, physiologically, they're dead. Let's take that one step and make the comparison. Let's use the metaphor. If they die physically, we die spiritually. Just talking about the Word of God. Okay, let's talk about obedience. The Bible says when we're saved to get baptized. If you're not baptized, you're walking in disobedience. The Philippian jailer got saved at midnight. He got baptized the next day. Lydia in Acts chapter 16 in Philippi got saved, got baptized. Paul got saved, got baptized. The Ethiopian eunuch got saved, got baptized. When our parents look at us and say, this is what I want you to do. This isn't legalism. This is basics. Obey your mommy and daddy. Get the picture? Same picture. It's not hard. But we make it so difficult. We make it so hard. I didn't know what to do when I first got saved. What do? Go to church. Okay. Go to church. My wife had a job at a Christian school. That job required church attendance every time the door was open. Required. Whoa, how can they require that? Because you're getting a paycheck from the church. Is that too much to ask? Was that too much to ask? So where was I every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? Church. Every Bible conference, where was I? Church. What did I know? Church. For 28 years, I knew what the world had to offer. Now I had a chance to see what the church had to offer. Man, what a difference it was. It was awesome. I had a chance to go to banquets. My first banquet I ever attended at First Bible Rochester. Mark Palma said to Cindy and I, you guys ought to serve the food. What do you mean, serve? I've never even been to a banquet. Trust me, serve. Why? You get to go into the kitchen. Now Mark's from New York. He knows good food. He knew the caterer of the banquet. He knew that there would be shrimp trays and prime rib. And he started talking like that. I said, okay, I'll serve. My first conference, I served food. That was the best thing because I got a chance to meet 40, 50, 60 people. What did we all do together? We all served. What did we all do in the kitchen together? Nibble. It was fun. It was fun. So there's mutual encouragement. There's mutual accountability. Mutual accountability. What does that mean? That means doing things together breeds togetherness. That's not too deep, is it? doing things together breeds togetherness. If you don't do things together, don't be surprised if you feel isolated or alone. Being a team member requires mutual accountability. Why should Johnny run in a race when he didn't attend the practices all week? Why should Susie start in the game when she was gone all week for practices? Why should Billy get to hold the flag in the parade when he never shows up for Cub Scouts? You've all heard that. You've all thought that maybe as a kid. Have you ever thought that as an adult? Obviously, there's a principle here that has to do with faithfulness and dependability. The Bible says, who can find a faithful man? Do you know I've been trying to do that for years? This isn't hard. Again, this is not legalism. This is just simple. Are you there? Have you attended? Are you in place? I actually asked Susan for years to take attendance at church. I stopped taking attendance. Susan, when was the last time you took attendance? Yeah, it's been a while. Why do I stop taking attendance? I got so discouraged, I stopped. Now, I can see if you're here, but I can't remember if you're here. Because when I look on the sheet of paper that says whatever it says about your attendance, then I kind of get the wrong attitude, the wrong spirit. And I want to magnify God with those that come. I don't want to focus on those that aren't here. Not that I don't care if you're not here. I do care. But I'm sure you got a legitimate excuse why you're not here. And there are some, and we'll get to those in a minute. But all legalism put aside, if you're on a team, you need to be there for practice. If someone is unreliable, if someone is absent and not there when the training and the practice takes place, then why should they be given the same benefits as those that show up all the time? The present should contact the missing. If you're here and you have a burden for somebody, if you care, if we care one for another, we should be making phone calls. And then there's Victor. He'll be at your door. Forget the phone call. He'll be there. And there are some people that love you that much too. They'll be in your face. Where were you? Okay? Those that attend should encourage those that are missing. Now, why is that important? Because testimonies of what God is doing in our lives will hold believers accountable to the things that they have committed unto the Lord. Mutual accountability. You might have come forward. You might have given a testimony. You might have said, God's called me to do this, or God's called me to do that. You might have said that corporately in front of the church. And somebody might say to you in a week, in a month, in a year, hey, you made a commitment. How's that going? Maybe we don't want to be held accountable. So there's mutual encouragement, mutual accountability. How about mutual training? Mutual training. Exhorting one another. Mutual training. The Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron. We that have already been trained, we that have already been taught, should show them that are behind us how and why this is the way to proceed. There's a huge difference between instructional learning and experiential learning. Yesterday in men's group, we had experiential learning talking. This is what I've learned, as Solomon wrote, Ecclesiastes chapter 12. These are all my regrets. Now, I might be telling you one thing, that's instructional learning, but what I'm living is experiential learning. And through experience, you should avoid that. You shouldn't do that. Well, why? Because it's going to lead down the wrong road. Well, how do you know? I've been there, done that. Yeah, well, I don't care. I'm going to learn my own way. And that happens. Doesn't that happen? That happens. The Bible clearly says to obey is better than sacrifice. But today's language says to do what God says always pays off, no matter what the situation may be. To do what God says always pays off, no matter what the situation might be. You might be poor as poor, where you don't even have enough money to pay attention. I love that phrase. You might be so poor, you can't even pay attention. God says, give and shall be given unto you. God says that. So if we put that in place, God will then superintend our finances. Until we do that, God won't touch our finances because we're not obeying. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. If they start there, God can then beat up their parents. No, I mean, minister to their parents. If the children put all their trust in the simple things, not the legalistic things, just start somewhere. Read the word. Obey God. Come to church. This isn't hard. But everybody's Christian life in here is going to be impacted by where you are. Not only your relationship with God, but physically, geographically, where are you when God shows up? Oh, God shows up in my home. Good. I'm glad. He should. But there are times when we have asked God to show up corporately, and perhaps maybe you haven't. Warning! Warning, what does church attendance tend to do? Church attendance can sometimes breed false spirituality. False spirituality. What I mean by that is outward things become measurements of internal spiritual growth, when in fact that's not true at all. The fact that you're here is good. That has no guarantee you're listening, paying attention. Look, I've been a youth pastor. Can you see? The wrinkles are from the kids. The gray hairs from my wife. No. 4 years looking in the face of young people raised in Christian homes, bored, indifferent, apathetic. Why don't you love God? Whatever. Whatever the phrases are today, I don't even know what they are. They're probably not. I can't use them from the pulpit. I'm where I'm supposed to. And they would show up because their parents would make them. So attendance was mandatory for the teenagers until a certain confrontation, perhaps. I actually had some teenagers that brought their parents to church. Wednesday night became such a draw for our youth department that parents stayed home on Wednesday night. The teenager said, I'm going to church. Well, how are you going to get there? You're taking me. I'm not going to church. Then I'll find a ride somehow. False spirituality. Warning. Church attendance can breed the wrong attitude. Please remember, attendance is the first rung of the ladder. God's not going to call you to the mission field if you can't come to church. Does that make sense? I mean, seriously. God has a kingdom program. When the day is over and our life is over, what we've done for Christ is the only thing that will last. So we're following all of the distractions. The world, the flesh, and the devil. And we're wondering why there's no satisfaction, why there's no joy, why there's no enduring change. Is anybody here tired? We're all tired. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Do you think Paul was tired? Shipwrecked, beaten, whipped, stoned. The list goes on and on and on. Plus, he worked to put himself through the ministry. Do you think he ever got tired? Of course he did. Where was he? He tried to be exactly where God wanted him to be. Perfectly? Of course not. But this isn't hard. This isn't rocket science. This isn't figuring out how many toes on the Antichrist. This isn't figuring out when the trumpet's going to blow, what day, what time, what hour. We're not talking about the deep things of God. We're just talking about simple, basic. And once we obey the simple and the basic, do you think God then would bless our lives? God blesses giving. God blesses marriages as long as we do and obey the basics. And here we are in the deep things of God. What could be more deep than worship? What could be more simple than worship? When your child looks you in the face, says, "Mama," for the first time, you're done. Dad, when your girl says, "Dada," you're toast. Done. College education already paid for. Weddings, you know, it's crazy. Last, warning, neglecting other priorities. Neglecting other priorities. There are some people that are in the church every single time the door's open. Even if there's wife, his wife's having open heart surgery. Now that's dumb. Right? That's dumb. There are some times when we have to readjust our priorities. God understands that. If your child's in the ICU and you're at church because the church door's open, you might really ought to check something out. You ought to be where your child needs you. Right? So there are obviously exceptions to the rule. And your kids, as they grow up, will remind you of all the exceptions. But your goal is to try to help them grow up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, starting with the basics. We can talk about the advanced stuff, but you have to really figure out the basics first. There are times when church attendance should take special place. Second place, especially if you have TB. That's a communicable disease, tuberculosis. Apparently, one of the first cases in Erie County, just on the radio, just this week. TB in Erie County. But some of us come to church, snot swiping here, kids got fevers, we're coughing and we're sneezing and we're hacking. I'm in church, Pastor. But nobody else is going to be next week. You've just given the flu to half the church. You're all laughing because you've all been there. Probably my worst offenders are sitting right here. Last thought was simply what I showed you in the front of my Bible. Specific dates when God showed up in your heart. Look, I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for George Grace preaching a message on a Sunday morning on giving. What does giving have to do with missions? Genesis 22, God said to Abraham, "Give me your son." I had one son. I gave my kids to God. Said, "Lord, if you want my kids, my wife, I'll give you my whole family." He said, "All I want is your obedience." That's what Abraham gave God, his obedience. Right? God expected obedience. What did Abraham give him? obedience. If it cost him his son, he was going to obey. I said to God, if it cost me my family, I'm going to obey you until you stop me. I said that for 3 years. What did God do to Abraham? Stopped him. So George is preaching on giving, and God is speaking to my heart about missions, because some crazy church in Lancaster wants me to come out to be their pastor. I'm on my way to Africa to be a missionary. They want a pastor here. I'm scratching my head thinking I'm becoming schizophrenic. I'm ready to have a spiritual meltdown. I have no idea what to do. But God answered my prayer in that church service on giving. What would have happened if I had not been there? Maybe the results would have been the same. I don't know. I don't know. Could we take a moment for inventory now, here? Since we're in church together, and the Spirit of God, I think, is using the Word of God to maybe talk to our hearts. Attendance is important to God. It's also important to you. Do you know who benefits from you being here? Not only you. Do you realize I had to get over the fact that you're not here? I had to get over that. I had to give all that to God. That wasn't an easy thing. Ask Dave. It's not an easy thing for pastors to be discouraged service and Sunday and week and month and year after year. I get it. I wouldn't come to hear me preach either. But at least come for your friends. At least come for the church fellowship. I'm not going to say come for the food. That's the wrong reason. Sometimes I wonder why we have the food. It's the wrong motive to bring you here. The church family should bring you here. There's no place on earth. I feel like Dorothy. There's no place on earth. There's no place on earth like this place. There's no place on earth like this place. If ever I'm out of the pulpit here, I brag about you all the time. There's no place I'd rather be than here. That wasn't always the case. That's why when I sign my emails, serving the Lord with gladness, it wasn't always that way. It is now. Are you in the right place? It's important for you to be in the right place. One, your kids are watching. Two, the church family's watching. Of course, the most important, God's watching. Let's pray. Lord, I didn't mean to be harsh or sarcastic in any way. If I came across that way, I apologize. Lord, I think this would be a good time to take personal inventory. We know that the world, the flesh, and the devil are preventing us from loving you, from serving you, from doing your will. On top of that, in addition to that, we come up with our own excuses. Lord, as far as I know, as we've been looking at this theme of worship this year, my Bible says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. And thy neighbor is thyself. So it seems to me
that the love of God and love for God is critical. Bottom line, we're not where we need to be because we don't love God the way we should. We love ourselves more. Lord, this is hard. I know, I understand. But the Bible says, I die daily. That is our Christian theme. I didn't write that. God did. We are more than conquerors, said Paul, because they've been sacrificed daily. Lord, I just pray that you would hear the prayers of your saints. Maybe there are some that need to make a commitment, maybe a rededication of their heart to you. Lord, it would be irresponsible if we hadn't addressed these fundamental basics of worship. We don't want to make church attendance an idol. But the most mature saints still eat food because they know they need to nourish their body. They don't worship the food, but they know it's necessary. We're not worshiping church attendance, but we know it's necessary. It provides the platform that we need for fellowship. It actually hones us. If we have to forgive others as Christ forgave us, that's not an easy place to be. The local church is the place where grace needs to abound because some of us are not very friendly. Some of us are not very likable. Some of us are not very giving. Some of us are not very obedient, cheerful, helpful, hospitable. The list goes on. And neither are we. Lord, we know the solution is yourself. We need to move out of the way, place Christ where he needs to be. Lord, how I pray you'd allow us to put Christ not in the cradle this year, but put him in the center of our heart. Oh God, that's my prayer as a pastor. It's my prayer as a husband, as a dad, as a grandpa. Put Christ in the center of my being, so that the things of the world will be less attractive. And that I might be able to trust you with things that spiritually I have absolutely no control over whatsoever. And trust you by faith to lead me and guide me. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.